Podcast. Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another victory version of Pulse of the Pack, the 10th of its kind this season. The Green Bay Packers got their 10th win over the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, and in the process, they actually clinched their playoff berth before the game even started to a couple of other teams losing, but it's always nice to get in with a win as opposed to backing in or feeling like you backed in. But the Packers are in. This is our 10th version, as I said, of Victory Pulse of the Pack. I am your host, Jacob Westendorf, and joined with me, as always, is my esteemed co-host down in a different time zone, actually. He's about 2 hours ahead of where he normally is, Jason Perrone. Jason, actually, I could be wrong. Are you back from Florida?
I am. I am back from Florida, but I have a big announcement. You already know this, Jacob. I have a big announcement for our fans, followers, listeners, all three of them. I joke, two of which are you and I. I am going to be bringing the show back to the great Midwest, where my roots originated from, and going to become a resident of the great state of Minnesota come mid-January, just in time for the crux of winter. So I could not be more excited to be back in the Midwest, and no, that is not a joke. That is not sarcasm. I am very excited to be back despite the crazy winter. I've lived out in Arizona now for 23 years, but we've got our little two-year-old and very excited to get back out that way. So all of our listeners out there in the Minneapolis area, hit me up. Let me know where you're at. Let's definitely do some tweet-ups, some get-togethers. It'll be fantastic. But no, I am back in Arizona, and I think somebody knows where I'm moving because today was like the prototypical Minnesota winter day outside. It was chilly here for us. I won't talk about the temperature because then you'll just roll your eyes. But it was dreary. It was gloomy. It looked like the sun hadn't come out in days. So I'm getting conditioned. I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. And if I may, Jacob, before we get started, on the front end of the show here, I want to give a little bit of love to our sponsors because they really do a fantastic job. And I know that we mention them every show, but Mayfield Sports Marketing and Mark Mayfield, so many great events. They do a lot of really good charity work around the holidays, getting Packer players involved. And you can reach out to Mayfield Sports Marketing if you want to hire a Packers player to attend your event, kind of spice it up a little bit. Waukesha Sports Cards as well. They do a lot of really good signings, really good athlete appearances, a lot of Packers, former Packers, current Packers. We usually try to tweet those out on Twitter. So it's the holidays, so I'm in the giving and festive mood. So I thought I'd throw a little bit of extra love the way of our sponsors.
Absolutely agree. And one thing I can guarantee with this move to the Midwest is there will be more live shows, more shows at Lambeau, more shows live from training camp, and I'll even make a trip up to Minnesota every once in a while because, like I mentioned to you, Jason, Target Field is on my bucket list. But now that those logistics are out of the way, this show's about football. Let's talk football. The Packers are 10-4 currently. They have a chance to win 12 games this season, and it doesn't feel like they're that good of a football team a lot of the time. I mean, maybe it's a different kind of good, but we're used to the offense running like a Ferrari, and now it runs like a station wagon. So I guess my first question is, you know, this team at times feels very below average. You know, they lost two games at home this year to two bad football teams. That's what the Lions and the Bears are. They're bad football teams. And it wasn't like the Lions or Bears played out of their minds in those games. They scored 18 and 17 points respectively in those two games. The Packers looked really bad against Denver the entire game and for about three-quarters of a game against the Carolina Panthers. And had it not been for a Hail Mary, they would have lost to the Detroit Lions again in Detroit and been swept by them for the first time since 1981. That's a long time, in case you haven't figured that out. How remarkable is it to you that not only are they 10-4 and have a shot at a first-round bye, but the fact that they're in the playoffs in general? And to me, if you would have just told me to sit down and watch every game the way it's transpired, obviously you can't do this, but without knowing what the final score was, all those sorts of, watch the way the teams played. There's no way that I would tell you that the Packers were a playoff team. Their defense is probably slightly above average. Their offense is well below average. I don't have a problem saying that at this point in the season. I think, you know, we give the guy a lot of flack. I really do think that it speaks to the way Mike McCarthy runs his program. The team's won 10 games, and almost nothing has gone right, especially offensively. Aaron Rodgers is having, as our guy, my guy, Zach Cruz put it, one of the worst really good seasons ever. Doesn't look like his MVP self. Eddie Lacy's bounced in and out of the lineup. There's been no Jordy Nelson. We've complained about every single wide receiver. The tight end position has been virtually non-existent. The offensive line's been banged up. It's remarkable to me. This team is, it's almost like they win out of habit. And that just reminds me every year how spoiled we really are, because I'm sitting on Sunday talking to various people, and everything that I see, read, even say sometimes, it's all negative. And Mike McCarthy's talked about the negativity, and he said it really well, I think. This team's won 10 games. They've lost 3 games on the final play. Now, you can argue all sorts of logistics, and his statistics are for losers mantra, which I think is a little ridiculous at times. But 10-win team, they're in the playoffs. Really, I know that it's Titletown USA and it's Super Bowl or bust, but at this point in the year, there's not a whole lot more you can ask for, I think. I think that this fan base, myself included, is incredibly spoiled. I think that they've forgotten what it's like to be bad, because the Packers haven't had an extended period of losing. Every time I think everything's going wrong in Green Bay, I look to my brothers on the East in Ohio. I got friends from out there. They're Cleveland Browns fans, die hard. They can't remember the last time their team was good. I mean, it's so bad out there that they were rejoicing when Josh McCown was signed to be their starting quarterback. Josh McCown is not good at football. It's remarkable to me. The Packers are a, quote, not good. They're not as good as they normally are, yet they're still 10 wins. They're in their own – they control their own destiny for the NFC North, and with a little bit of help can clinch a first-round bye. That's great to me. You know, it's not as good as it normally is, but I think that with all that stuff I'm adding in, I'm basically trying to say I think it speaks to Mike McCarthy. I think he's a great football coach. I think that he should get all the appreciation in the world this year. Jason, how do you feel?
Okay, well, we've done this exercise before, but let's do it again because I like to, you know, do repetition. You learn through repetition. So, Jacob, question for you. How many points does a basketball player get for a 10-foot jump shot?
2.
How many points does a basketball player get for a 360 windmill dunk? What about a layup?
2.
Okay, so before I mean, obviously, the point I'm trying to make is that, and I've said it before, style points don't matter for SH you-know-what in the NFL.
Yeah, this isn't college football.
In that regard, nicely played. That was beautiful. You know, in that regard there, it's just, yes, they've won 10 games, and in that sense, I do agree with Mike McCarthy. Now, you know, some of you guys listen to the radio, you know, the Packers talk shows like Green and Gold Today with Jason Wilde and Bill Johnson, and then the Green and Gold post-game show with Bill Michaels and Gary Ellerson. Former Badger, former Packer, Gary Ellison. And while I enjoy their take right after the game, they're you know, Ellerson and Michaels are kind of hard on the Packers. I think they take a pretty hard-nosed approach. And, you know, me of all people can appreciate that because that's me on Twitter during the games. Again, this is me being realistic. Everybody else calls it negative for some reason. Wink, wink. So I think that everybody starts to kind of buy into the narratives. Everybody kind of starts to, you know, think that the ship is sinking and, oh, you know, this isn't 2010. It was different. You know, this was happening. This wasn't happening in 2010. And it's like any more in the NFL, each season stands on its own merit. There are no, you know, I guess we'll call them dynasties. You know, yes, the Patriots make the playoffs. Yes, they've won a lot of championships. Yes, the Packers have made the playoffs 7 years in a row. So in that sense, you could say, well, they're kind of sort of – but every season stands on its own and every team stands on its own. So until the last second ticks off of the last game in which this team is not in the lead on the scoreboard, they're winning games, and that is, the last time I checked, called success. So, yes, Green Bay Packers fans extremely spoiled. And you know what? I'll take it. I'm glad. To be spoiled is a gift in life. There's a lot of people, like you said, you mentioned – Cleveland Browns fans. And you know, one thing I have to say about that is You know, Packers fans might be spoiled, but you sit down and have a conversation with the vast majority of them. There's always going to be a contingent that don't fall into this into line here, but you're going to have an educated conversation. You're going to be talking to some football fans that appreciate the game, that understand the game, they understand their team, they appreciate it. It's a good conversation. It's a good back and forth. When you look around at some people, kind of like the guys you mentioned, and fans of teams that have not had success in a long time, and I'm gonna rake a little bit on my 2B brothers and sisters from Minnesota, where I'm headed. The Vikings. Vikings fans are an example here. I know some really good and smart Vikings fans, so certainly not all of them, but they've been so disappointed for so long that they actually start buying into these misguided ideas that, well, it's better for the Packers to lose than for the Vikings to win. And that's actually, you know, I've actually had some Vikings fans tell me absolutely, emphatically that is true to them. So, you know, I don't know what side of the fence I'm on right now, Jacob, because I think you made some good points. This team is not playing solid football in the sense of what we're used to. But one thing I do want to mention is that even though Carolina put up a bunch of points on this Packers defense, Green Bay had a chance to tie the game at the end. I mean, last play of the game, they still had a chance to tie the score, try to send the game to overtime. They would have had to convert a two-point conversion to do it. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't get spooked by thin air. And, you know, maybe we're having a different conversation. So, yeah, they gave a bunch of points, but they were still in that game. So the offense did enough to get them competitive. And then you kind of throw that one out there. The Denver game was just a complete disaster. But these other games, I mean, the Packers scored 23 points on offense against the Raiders. They gave up 20. They're actually averaging, if you take the Carolina and the Denver game out, I mean, they're giving up less than 20 points a game. So, yeah, it kind of stinks that we aren't seeing the 35, 40-point explosion that we love to see that we saw the last 3 years. And we're not seeing Jordy Nelson with the shot play running the ball in with not a single defender on the screen. But all you have to do is score one more point than your opponents. And the NFL now anymore is very competitive. I mean, there's double-digit teams that are going to finish with 10 wins. You know, and that's not a huge percentage. I mean, 10 out of 32 is a little less than a third. But the Packers are one of those teams. So, you know, at some point, all the negative Nancys and the negative Nellies, myself included sometimes, really have to realize that, hey, they're 10 wins. They're in the playoffs. They're going to the tournament. Because, and I've said this 1,000 times before, too, tell me about a time that a team won a Super Bowl that did not make the playoffs. If you can find one, then ride in on your unicorn and show me, because that's just not how it works. So, you know, the offense itself, and I think we're probably going to get into some of the comments that have been made by Rodgers and McCarthy, I think. You know, it's really kind of it's so difficult to put my finger on, because we have two games left and we still don't know what is going on. It's just so bizarre. And then we do have to kind of just chuckle, because it's like, well, despite not knowing what the heck is going on, they got 10 wins and they got a chance to add another one or two going into the postseason. I mean, they still have a chance, believe it or not, as quote-unquote badly as they've played, and they have definitely played bad in some stretches. But there's a chance that things go right somehow against the Cardinals this weekend. And with a little bit of help in Week 17, Green Bay could leapfrog Arizona and take that number two seed, and all of a sudden they got a bye. And the only road game they would have to play, theoretically, at that point then would be at Carolina. And if that's the case, then that's the NFC Championship game. So, you know, things could be a lot worse. You know, they definitely could. I think we get nervous because all the analysis that goes into the Packers' comments after the game, and Aaron Rodgers sounds frustrated. We don't know what's wrong. Something's going on behind closed doors. We have no idea what it is. And, Jacob, you and Marcus and I were talking yesterday, and so, I mean, we're part of it, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, or I'm not bagging on either of us. I mean, we're just discussing amongst ourselves. But I think part of it, too, is that for the last 3 years, the Packers have been so consistently good, and Aaron Rodgers has played so well that maybe the media is just excited to finally have some drama to write about, and they don't have to dig up stories about somebody's, you know, bloodline and their uncle who built a log cabin with his bare hands after he retired last week up in Montana. I mean, that's another part of it, too, is that, you know, the media isn't there to make us feel good. They're there to report stories. They're there for clicks. They're there for views. So you got to kind of weigh it out in terms of how you really feel about this team. And I like the eyeball test. They don't always look pretty doing it, but, you know, hard to argue with 10 victories.
That it is, and it's hard to argue with another playoff berth. And all it takes, Packers need to win one more game to win the NFC North. If they beat Minnesota in Week 17, that's five straight division titles. If they win next week and Minnesota loses to the New York Giants, which with the pending suspension of Odell Beckham, I'd plug both of those under unlikely. More on that later. You never know. I guess the Packers can win their division that way as well. All kinds of scenarios in play, but they are in the playoffs despite some frustrations. And the offense, once again, was frustrating. After a week of ramming the ball down the Cowboys' throat for over 200 yards rushing, they were unable to do a whole lot there. Eddie Lacy, again, 11 carries, 23 yards. Never really able to get into a rhythm. Some abandoning of him, which I didn't fully understand. James Starks was the leading rusher on the day. Their first touchdown was set by a Micah Hyde interception. Their second touchdown was a Demaryius Randall interception return for a touchdown, which I'll get to again later, because I'm sure Jason has plenty to say about that. But really, they only earned, quote-unquote, 3 points in the first half. In the second half, they fall behind. They give up a touchdown right before halftime to Amari Cooper. Oakland goes down the field and scores a touchdown again in the second half. And it's all of a sudden the Packers are trailing 20-17 in a game that they were leading 14-0. Then the drive of the game, everything turns right here, as it's done all season long. One big kickoff return by Jeff Yannis. Three plays later, bang, Packers had the lead right back, a lead they never relinquished. And, of course, they get the lead because all James Jones does
is catch a touchdown.
That's right. All James Jones does is catch touchdowns, and he was left wide open down the sideline. Rodgers hit him in stride. 30-yard touchdown reception by James Jones. Packers would add a couple more field goals, make it 30-20 final. They were excellent on defense in the fourth quarter. Lots of good in there, but mostly sprinkled around a lot of bad. Again, a lot of that big wall that hit in the middle of the game where the Packers just, actually really from the beginning of the game, they didn't score any points. They didn't move the ball. It took them a while to kind of find their rhythm, drop passes, missed throws, really some inexplicable play calling at the end of the game as well. But the big one that I want to discuss is, again, Devontae Adams continues to struggle. I know he's hurt. It seems like by the end of the year, he might have an injury to every single portion of his leg. You know, he's had an ankle, then it was a heel. All we need is a calf and a hamstring, and we're good to go as far as the injury trifecta, or injury bingo. I can't call it trifecta. Injury bingo for Devontae Adams' legs. Either way, it was a poor pass. Devontae had a ball in the corner of the end zone. It wasn't a good pass, but he did get his hands on it. It just looks like anything that has any degree of difficulty to it whatsoever, Devontae doesn't catch it. And if he does catch the ball, it's an immediate tackle. There's no yards after catch. And it looks like during courses of the game, he was being benched in favor of Jeff Janis or Jared Aberderis. Janis got in the game. Rodgers threw him a slant, a little high, still he got his hands on it, should have caught it, didn't. And then Jared Aberderis made three catches. By the end of the game, Rodgers was pining for him to play more. Overall, offensively, I said it a few weeks ago, Adams has become the scapegoat, but it's easy to talk about this because he was supposed to be a star. They named him the offseason's MVP. Aaron Rodgers pumped him up. He doesn't give out praise like that easily. It just does not happen. Mike McCarthy doesn't give out offseason MVP awards often either, things of that nature. He was very good at the end of last year. He was the Packers' best receiver in a playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys. The intro to our show is based around Devontae Adams' signature play of his career. Right now, it's clear. He's not going to have a good season. You know, unless he goes full Terrell Owens for the next two games, catches 20 balls in each game and probably three or four touchdowns in each of those games, the end of his season numbers are going to look very, very poor. So what's the problem? And, you know, we've often said the rule is, you know, whatever the injury is, if you go between the chalk, you're saying you're good to go. So the injury thing may matter, but it hasn't mattered enough to keep him off the field. So I'm not going to give him a pass, so to speak, because of the injury. I don't think he's gotten any better. You know, it almost looks like the Packers are forcing themselves to get Adams involved on offense, and there's no results, or very little results, I guess is what I'll say. Adams has one touchdown this season. He hasn't done a whole lot. He hasn't made any big plays, and the Packers needed him to do that with the absence of Jordy Nelson. You know, we have the running moniker on the show. All James Jones does is catch touchdowns, and that's great. James Jones has been a godsend of a free agent wide receiver and really kind of fell into the Packers' laps. But Jones can't be the number one receiver on this team. Randall Cobb can't be the quote-unquote number one receiver either because he's a slot receiver. Packers need a threat on the boundary. They don't have that. And it's because Adams hasn't played well. I don't know what the problem is. He hasn't looked good. You know, I know other receivers have had some struggles in their first couple years and turned it on eventually. I'm concerned, and obviously we'll talk a lot about Adams, I think, this offseason. I don't think they're going to get rid of him or anything crazy like that. But even when Jordy comes back next year, the Packers are going to need Devontae Adams to step up. This is a second-round pick. And with a team that is draft and develop just about strictly, You need your draft picks to hit, especially a second-round pick. And the Packers have had a lot of success with that. Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb, some of those guys were third-round picks. Jones was the third-round pick of that group. I don't know what the problem is, but I'm not against Aaron Rodgers' idea of Jared Aberderis getting more time on the field, because Adams just hasn't played well, and I don't think he's earned his spot on the field. They want to talk about the hot hand all the time. Well, Abby's got a hotter hand than Davante Adams does, so it's time to put their money where their mouth is, so to speak. Jason, do you have any more optimism whatsoever on the Davante Adams?
Not really. Yeah, I think at this point it's go time. You don't have now. These next two games might as well be playoff games. Somebody tried to say today on one of the shows that this Arizona game doesn't mean anything, and I get that it's a tough game and it's a really tough matchup, and the Cardinals are favored to win as they should be. And frankly, I mean, my picking them this week is not going to be. It's not only going to be because I'm trying to continue to be perfectly imperfect, but because that's legitimately what I think is going to happen. So, but, you know, and if they do lose to Arizona, then there's no chance that they're getting the second seed, but the NFC East is so bad that there's no chance that they're going to lose the third seed. So then they essentially have to, well, I guess they could if they don't beat the Vikings in the final week of the season. So, but from the sense of them moving up and grabbing the two seed, those hopes are dashed if they lose to the Cardinals. So, you got to put your players in that are going to make plays and that are going to be what you need them to be. Now, I mean, Jared Aberderis just hasn't been healthy enough to get the opportunities to make the big plays. I mean, honestly, he's had some catches. He had a nice kick return or a nice punt return, you know, last week or the week prior. He's a smart player. We all know Aaron Rodgers loves him. I think we can start throwing all these narratives to bed and just say, yes, Jared Aberderis is a solid player, but I've only really seen him make one big play so far, and that was the big catch that he had in the first game that he played in, and he got hurt right away, and then he missed another couple of weeks. So I think the Packers are just – it's one of those things where it's almost like a gambler, where you play, you hit big, you know, your second hand, you win big, you lose, you lose, you lose, you lose, you lose, and you're like, okay, I should probably walk away, but what if this is the one hand where I hit it big again? Eventually, my luck's got to turn around. So you play another hand, you lose. And you throw in another, you're like, I got to play one more. You play one more, you get a little bit back, not a lot, but you're like, I feel like it's coming. And you just keep throwing money down. You lose, you lose, you lose. At some point, you got to either say I'm all in or you got to walk away. And at this point in the season right now, I think Davante Adams needs to be a role player, and that's what he's going to be this season. I mean, the Packers have, like I said, you know, there's two games left, and we still don't have answers to some questions that the Packers should have had and that most football teams have by the end of the fourth game. So I know that they were thrown a huge curveball with losing Jordy, and they've dealt with some injuries. I mean, these guys are playing hurt, probably more so than we even understand, and I'm talking mostly about the offensive line. Every single one of those guys has been banged up and beat up. They've toughed it out and played when they probably, you know, some other guys might have sat out. So, you know, Adams is just the drops, and I get the playing in the wet conditions is tough, but where's this jump ball I keep hearing about? You know, he's got these ups where he can do a 360 dunk. Well, that's great. I don't think I've ever seen a player score any points in the NFL because of a dunk play. So where's this jump ball that I keep hearing about? Where is this ability? And Rodgers has had some accuracy issues, and I get that, you know, some of the throws have been tough. But, man, if you're going to play in the NFL, you got to get open. You know, corners are going to press cover you because guess what? It works. So Davante Adams, if you want to play more, if you want to get back to where you were, if you want to live up to all these expectations and all these accolades that are being thrown at you by Aaron Rodgers himself, who doesn't throw that around loosely, then you got to get off press coverage. You got to get open, because guess who can? Jared Aberderis. So, you know, that's just one of the little things that Abby does that Davante Adams doesn't really do as well. And with that being the case, yeah, I think it is time to see a little bit more of Aberderis. The problem is that you just keep rotating guys in and out, and you're still trying to find your rhythm and your chemistry this late in the season, because they've had so many different sets of guys. But like you said, you know, James Jones isn't a one. He was brought in. He was brought in to be a four. I mean, he was, you know, Jordy Nelson. Yeah, he came in to be another receiver because they lost Jordy Nelson. But let's not kid ourselves into thinking the Packers signed James Jones to be Jordy. You know, he came in to be the fourth guy. You know, they I'm sure expected it to be Cobb, Adams, Montgomery shortly after the season started, and then Jones as a, you know, security blanket fourth guy, which is exactly where you want to be. But That just hasn't been what it's been. And a big part of the reason why is because with Adams being hurt and not performing, they keep having to shuffle guys around. And we haven't even touched on Jeff Janis as a receiver. And I just think at this point, you got to go with the guys you go with, and you live and die by what you got. And, you know, if you win, you win. If you lose, then you come back next year and you get at it again next year.
That'll be enough on the offense for the day. Not a whole lot really to discuss there this time around until a little bit later. We'll discuss some off-the-field issues. Defense, however, fast start, strong finish, low in the middle. Fast start, I mentioned, Micah Hyde intercepted a pass, got the Packers down to about the two-yard line before a ridiculous, and I'm going to call it stupid, celebration penalty knocked the Packers back 15 yards. And before you chime in and say, yeah, I know they scored, but they scored a touchdown on that drive anyways, I understand that. But I witnessed last year, and I love Mike Daniels. Let me get that out of the way. I've said that several times. I love Mike Daniels. But HaHa Clinton Dix got an interception in the NFC Championship game and got the Packers down to the one-yard line. After that interception, Daniels got in some Seahawks face and did something stupid that earned him a 15-yard penalty. The Packers kicked a field goal on that drive. That's 4 points. And last I checked, if maybe they scored a touchdown on that drive, then things go differently. This year's offense isn't as good as last year's offense was. That 15 yards could have been crucial because as soon as they knocked the Packers back 15 after the Hyde interception, I went from, okay, they need 2 yards. I would like to think in three plays they can get 2 yards to now they need 17, and I'm not so sure they can do that. So that penalty was huge. So I don't want to spend too much more time on that, but that was stupid beyond measure. But the biggest play of the game defensively as far as excitement goes, Jason, what did you refer to that as?
Peanut butter Randall time. Peanut butter Randall time. Peanut butter Randall time.
Yes, peanut butter Randall time. Demarius Randall, interception, finally got one returned for a touchdown. He's made some big plays this year. I think if he would have caught the interception against Carolina cleanly, he would have scored on that. First touchdown of his career kind of overshadowed what was really a rough day. But he was going against Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper, you guys can mark this, and as McCarthy likes to say, big letters. Amari Cooper is going to be a superstar in this league. And I'm talking like maybe a year and a half from now, we're putting him in the same sentence as guys like Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson and Antonio Brown and players of that nature. He is special. But at the same time, Randall, expectations are made on you as well. You'd like to see him play a little bit better. Packers went with two rookie corners for most of the day. Rollins and Randall were starting on the outside. Casey Hayward was in the slot. It seems pretty clear at this point the Packers view Casey Hayward as a slot corner. Quentin Rollins, I thought, held up really well. He didn't have the interception or flashy plays, but I thought as far as coverage went, he had a much better day. Defensively, Julius Peppers is finishing the season strong, much like he did a year ago. He started strong, kind of hit a lull in the middle of the season, didn't make a lot of plays. We were wondering, is he running out of gas? Then Sunday, 2.5 sacks, and they really need him to step up down the stretch, especially with a need for more pass rush. And that starts Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals because them receivers can play. And Carson Palmer, if you give him time, you name the defense, he can pick them apart. So the Packers are going to need a pass rush, and it looks like that's going to have to start with Julius Peppers. He's been the Packers' best pass rusher this season. They're going to need that on Sunday. They're going to need it down the stretch of the season as we close out the 2015-16 season if the Packers want to make a run to the Super Bowl. Special teams-wise, that's been a massive positive. You know, we've been talking about the struggles on offense. We've been talking about how the defense kind of doesn't play that well against good teams. Special teams has been good really all the way around. Save a kick return against the Detroit Lions. They've been awesome in coverages. Jeff Janis and Aaron Ripkowski, those guys are both monsters on punt coverage. Say what you will. You know, Jeff Janis may never make a play on offense. That's very possible that never happens. This guy's got a spot on this roster as that special teams ace. And, Jason, we'll talk about it once the offseason hits about how many receivers they're going to keep. This guy has to be a lock because he's just that damn good on special teams. You know, I know that the running narrative or some people are really in the cult viewing of this guy can be the next Jordy Nelson. I don't think that. I don't know if he'll ever be anything on offense, but I do know he's good on special teams. I think it's just fine if they keep him there. Basically, with special teams, to me, Janis also had that big kickoff return that I mentioned earlier that they set up the game-winning touchdown on that drive. So he's been a very, very positive for the special teams. Different personnel, different coaching staff, more Mike McCarthy involvement, all paying off. Jason, I kind of went on a diatribe there, but defense and special teams, kind of give your thoughts on that for the Sunday game and really your impression of over the whole season.
Well, you mentioned Rollins, and the one thing I wanted to say before I forget is he made a really nice pass breakup on a pretty veteran play for a rookie where it was near the end zone, and Carr throws the ball up, and Rollins has to keep up with his receiver, gets his head turned around, gets up there and swats the ball away. I mean, he's almost does a flip over backwards to make the play. And those are the kind of things that we knew Rollins could do from the very beginning. He hasn't had a lot of snaps, and his tackling definitely needs some work, but he's got some ball skills. And I really do enjoy watching him play. Demarius Randall, obviously, love to see the pick six. You know, he's another ball skill guy. You know, I mean, before I go any further, Jacob, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like Rollins and Randall pretty much make up for and keep the Packers whole in comparison to if they had brought back Tremont Williams and Devon House this year?
I think they're better. And I don't mean that as any disrespect to Devon House or Tremont Williams, but Tremont Williams at best was a descending player, and Devon House may have been an ascending player, but he's one of those guys that was going to make he made a pretty good chunk of change, about $6 million, $6.25 million a season, and he was a guy that was hurt a lot. So it's kind of hard to justify giving a contract to a guy that's really never on the field. And I think that you've seen now the Packers are more athletic at corner. I think that they – I know we've talked about Rollins tackling, but Demarius Randall's been a very good tackler. I think that as those guys get a little more experience, refine their craft, with Shields, Randall, and Rollins, I think the secondary's future is very bright at corner. And I haven't even talked about Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is still young. He's getting better. And Morgan Burnett is only 26 years old. So I think the Packers have a bright future at secondary. You know, it seemed risky at the time to let both of those guys go, but it's really paid off. Randall's been very good, and Rollins, I think, is starting to prove he can make plays as long as he's given time on the field.
Well, don't let the NFL Rules and Drafts Committee and Roger Goodell and whoever else makes the determination as to how compensation picks are handed out know just how much you like Rollins and Randall, because Tremont Williams is doing okay in Cleveland, and Devon House is doing okay in Jacksonville, and the Packers, I agree with you, I think are in some ways better off at cornerback. And by the way, they're getting two compensation picks for it as well. So, I mean, yeah, you know, the draft, and that's a whole other topic. And I'm actually excited, not for the season to end, but I'm excited for, you know, when we talk draft, because you and I didn't get – we weren't doing this show when draft time was around last year. And, you know, with no football around, it's a lot of fun to have idle hands and nothing else better to talk about than – which player we'd love for the Packers to draft that they'll never possibly ever get to draft. But, you know, you mentioned Peppers. I've been on Peppers riding him this whole season because I've said, and we, you know, mentioned it on our show, and I think in one of our early season shows, I may have even, we'd have to go back and listen to the tape, but I think I may have even said he's a dark horse guy the Packers are going to need this year. I think I did, and they are. They're going to need Peppers to step up. And, you know, it's funny because he has the day like he did on Sunday where he had 2.5 sacks, but – it's just so it's so interesting because when Clay Matthews has 2.5 sacks, people in Indonesia know it. But, you know, Julius Peppers quietly 2.5 sacks and just, you know, leads the team and comes in and has a big impact. I mean, the Packers didn't even get to Carr until the second half. This is another thing that I'm seeing with this defense is sometimes they go to these lulls where they can't get to the QB. They're, you know, they're getting hits on the quarterback, but they're not bringing them down. Finally, they get to Carr, they bring him down, and then all of a sudden, you know, they've got 3 sacks on the day or, you know, 2.5. Yeah, 3 sacks on the day because Neal had the other half sack too, and Mike Neal had a decent day as well. You know, so defensively, this is the unit that's really been helping to carry this team. Morgan Burnett led the team in tackles. I gave him a game ball because he didn't do anything real flashy, but he led the team in tackles. And Morgan Burnett is a stud in run support. He had a really nice tackle on a second and long. It was a solo tackle on a Latavius Murray run where he got around the edge and it was one-on-one and Morgan Burnett made the tackle. So, you know, he's a guy that the Packers, I know that they gave him that you know, that contract, but he's a guy that is going to be interesting to see what happens when they get to the point where they have to decide if they want to bring him back or not, because he's young enough and you know, hopefully his play doesn't drop off. I mean, everybody, you know, I mentioned earlier people talking about the comparisons to 2010. Another reason why, another way that you really can't do that is this is not Charles Woodson and Desmond Bishop's and Cullen Jenkins and Nick Collins' defense and Ryan Pickett. You know, this is not their defense. You know, they don't have guys like that, but they've got these emerging young guys that are coming up and playing well. By the way, Jacob, I don't know if you're aware of this. I think just as the show was starting, some of the Pro Bowl selections were announced, and 3 Packers made it to the Pro Bowl. I don't know if you're aware of who they were. Do you want to take a stab at it?
I know who they are, so I won't pretend that I don't.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers, Josh Sitton, and Clay Matthews were all voted to the Pro Bowl. One thing we know about Pro Bowl voting is that a lot of times guys get voted in for what they did a year ago. Who is not on that list that plays for the Packers that absolutely should be on that list?
Mike Daniels.
And so, you know, the Packers have an opportunity here. I think they can still make something of this season, but if it's not going to be this year, next year, you know, they're primed with these guys all having a year of experience. As long as they can keep everyone together and keep the core together, I don't know what's going to happen with the coordinator situation, and that's a whole other conversation to have after the season's over with. But this defense, again, less than 20 points a game. If you take away the Carolina game, which, again, they still had a chance to tie at the end, and the Denver game, less than 20 points a game. I don't have a lot of complaints about the defense. I think you're right. Randall's going to have up and down days. If it weren't for the pick six, he probably would have actually been – would have had a bad game. That is Amari Cooper. And even though he's a rookie, Amari Cooper is a pretty good wide receiver. He was the guy that I said on last week's show I was most concerned about until I went typical Jason and decided to say I was worried about Lee Smith, the slowest tight end in the NFL, because I thought he was going to sneak behind all the coverage. And while they were spending so much time covering Crabtree and Amari Cooper, he was going to have 2 1-yard touchdown catches and he was going to be a huge problem for the Packers. But, you know, Randall's going to fix that. He's going to be fine. Clay didn't have a tackle for the first time since, you know, 2012. That's going to happen every once in a while. But the defense still held open with the 20 points. I have no complaints. As far as special teams goes, this unit is really playing well. Janis is a returner, I agree with you, and a gunner. Focus on what you're good at. Work on the wide receiver stuff during the offseason. He has, I mean, with very few exceptions, he's had at least a 40-yard return in 3 or 4 games this year. And that return set up a huge score on Sunday. He was an unsung hero, without a doubt. I didn't love the blocked field goal. I had a feeling special teams were going to have a gaffe on Sunday. I'm just glad it didn't cost them the game. Mason Crosby had that terrible clunker of a try against the Lions at Lambeau Field to try to win that game. This field goal situation, I don't know exactly what it is. I don't want to see that become the reason why the team falls in the playoffs. But defense, special teams, you know, I'll take it any day. The offense we already talked about, that's a different conversation. But defense and special teams is how this team is going to get it done this year when it's all said and done.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff there. One other thing that came up, first of all, we'll go with injuries today, and today is Tuesday, so we won't know more until tomorrow. But Sam Shields is still in the concussion protocol. David Bakhtiari, quote, looked better yesterday than he did on a plane, so it's kind of wait and see there. And in kind of strange news, because it wasn't really brought up during the game, but Brett Good was placed on injured reserve with a torn ACL. The Packers have signed a new long snapper to take his place. Let me take that back. The leads us for the final portion of talking about the game. That's the Mayfield play of the game and the Waukesha Sports game ball. My play of the game is the James Jones game-winning touchdown because it gave the Packers a lead that didn't relinquish, one. And two, something else that I get to brag on my significant other here a little bit. She's not the biggest of football fans, and she kind of rolled her eyes with how obsessed I am at this. She actually thinks it's funny that you and I sit here and do this show. So that's kind of funny. But she wasn't with me during the game. Yeah, of course she does. I'm sure Kelsey does too. But during the game, she wasn't with me. And I texted her after the James Jones touchdown. And I said, all James Jones does, ... I didn't expect her to know what the hell I was talking about. And she texted me back within like 30 seconds, said it was catch touchdowns. So good job, baby. You made me very proud on that given play. And now that is my Mayfield Sports play of the game. My game ball goes to Julius Peppers. 2.5 sacks, really the best player in the defense throughout the day. Did okay against the run, I thought, but really made a mark with his pass rush, and they have to do that. They have to get that from him. So, Jason, Mayfield play of the game, Waukesha Sports game ball.
Okay, this is a first. I mean, you only sent the script how long ago? And I still... I'm the guy that isn't quite sure what I want to order, but I'm really close, so I want everybody else to order first. So by the time the server gets to me, I know what I'm getting with regards to my play of the game, because it's so weird. This season has been weird. That's a perfect word to describe it. I mean, the Packers put up 30 points, beat the Raiders on the road by double digits, and I can't think of who to give the play of the game to. I mean, I probably would have picked your play had you not. And I don't want to double dip there, so I'll have to come up with another one. But I'm actually going to give my game ball, I'll do the game ball first. I'm going to give my game ball to Brian Bulaga because he was tasked with the very minute, simple job of keeping one Khalil Mack off of Aaron Rodgers.
We all know Bulaga has been battling an ankle injury. I think he had a knee injury earlier in the season as well. He did have a knee injury. Toughed it out, has played through it, and Mac had one sack on Rodgers, which really was kind of one of those things where it was just as much on Rodgers as it was protection. And he had to run him down from behind and brought Rodgers down before he got back to the line of scrimmage. So it was a sack, but it wasn't a truck type of deal like we saw against the Broncos. I think we were all very concerned that Rodgers might end up dead if things didn't go right and Bulaga wasn't ready to play, and especially if Bulaga didn't play at all and it was going to be Don Barclay. So I'm going to go with Brian Bulaga. Fantastic job on Khalil Mack. Stepped up and did a really good job. The offensive line is I don't think, gotten the credit that they deserve this year. They've had their struggles. They've had some troubles. But, you know, the two tackles especially, David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga, if you really take your preconceived notions and put them aside and sit down and watch every snap that those guys have played this season, keep in mind, too, what they're battling through. You really can't complain. And I know that the Packers may want eventually to get more of a true left tackle, and then Bakhtiari becomes a little bit more depth, or I don't know if they move him around, but can't really complain about the job that they've done. Now, Mayfield play of the game, I mean, part of me wants to go Randall with the pick six, but what I'm struggling with there is that he followed up with such a clunker of a game that, you know, and I get it's the play of the game. I do think that interception return for a touchdown sparked the Packers and gave them life. Gave them that confidence and that hope. And we can't discount that this year because, you know, normally it's like, okay, well, it was so early in the game and they knew they were going to score 40 like they always do, like they have in years past, but that's not this year's Packers team. This year's Packers team needs every ounce of help and confidence it can get. So I guess I'll stick with the Randall pick six. I'll throw a little ASU bias out there. I got to give a little love to Arizona before I depart this state and I no longer call it home. So I'll go with the Randall pick six for my Mayfield play of the game.
There you have it. Mayfield Sports, Waukesha Sports. We talked about them in the intro. Hire Packers players. We appreciate all the stuff that you do for our little blog here. One other thing that came on off the field, and it actually just broke yesterday, that is former Packer and current Oakland Raider Charles Woodson announced that this will be his final season. His final home game will take place Thursday on Christmas Eve, and his final game will obviously be the following Sunday. This guy's put himself in a conversation with being maybe the greatest defensive back ever. And I wondered if I was being homeristic when I thought that, because obviously anybody that's listening to me knows I've loved Charles Woodson since I was 7 years old when he was at the University of Michigan winning a national championship and the Heisman Trophy. Then he played in Green Bay, my other favorite team. So it's kind of hard for me to be objective on this, but then I was looking around and seeing a lot of other smart people asking the same sorts of questions. He's made a good case on that. I don't want to spend too much time on this because the show really is about the current team, but this is a guy, I got just two quick questions then, is what's your favorite Charles Woodson memory from Green Bay, and what is your favorite, or do you believe that they should put him in the Ring of Honor? By Ring of Honor, I don't mean retired number, I mean on the sides of the stadium, on the sides of the bowl. My favorite memory, I'm going to cheat, I actually have two. Obviously the one is when he gave his post-game speech after the NFC Championship game. Every year after, like if my baseball team were to win in the semifinals, I kind of invoke and say the same things, tell them one more kinds of things, stuff like that. It's just, I can't do it any justice. The speech was phenomenal. I remember because they kind of showed it a little bit later, so the emotions of the championship game had kind of wound down. I figured out the Packers are going to the Super Bowl, but then I listened to him talk, and I was like, this 2 weeks can't go fast enough. Like, the Packers are going to win this game, and I want this game to start right now. I was so excited, and I'm not even going to play. So I could not imagine what those guys in the locker room felt at that time. The other one is the following year, I was doing some freelance work at the stadium. The Packers were playing the Bucks, and we were doing some stuff in the locker room, getting some post-game interviews with a few guys. And my work was really accomplished for the most part, so I just kind of stood there, and he turned over, and he was about 5 feet away from me, and I'm like, I got to take my shot. If he tells me to go to hell, then he tells me to go to hell, but this might be my only chance. So I told him hello, that I appreciated everything he'd ever done. Woodson shook my hand with me. I said, thanks, and go blue, because Michigan played Ohio State that week, and Michigan beat Ohio State for the first time in ages. It was when Brady Hoke was the head coach. So it's only been a couple years, but it seems like it was ages ago. But, you know, the guy that you kind of grown up idolizing for as many years as I had was right there, shook my hand, acted like I was equal with him. That was cool. So those are my favorite memories. As far as the Ring of Honor, I think so. I know he only spent seven seasons here, but he was a 2009 Defensive Player of the Year. He was one of the leaders of the defense that brought a championship home to Green Bay. He was arguably the most important player on that defense that brought that championship home. I think he deserves to be put in the Ring of Honor. I don't think he deserves to have his number retired here. I think they should retire his number in Oakland, but that's another topic. So, Jason, favorite memory and Ring of Honor?
Favorite memory is not a play on a field. My favorite memory is Charles Woodson, arm in a sling, walking off the field after Super Bowl 45 with the Lombardi Trophy in his hand. Because his arrival in 2006, although we had no idea at the time, and let's not forget, he did not want to play in Green Bay. He was not happy about coming to Green Bay. It was a paycheck for him. He was the employee that clocks in and clocks out, and it's nothing more than money to him. He doesn't care a thing about the job. Turned into an incredible Green Bay Packer. I think he grew as a person, as a player. He'll always be known as, I think, as an Oakland Raider by the vast majority. I think Packers fans might be a little biased and say not really, but I think he'll be known as an Oakland Raider because he started and finished his career there and spent more years there than he did in Green Bay. But let's not be mistaken. His time in Green Bay is what cemented his legacy and the reason why he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So with that said, I think, you know, nothing is ever going to eclipse or equal what Reggie White did for this organization, but I think if there's a player who's behind Reggie or a second, I won't say close, but second, it would be Charles. So his name definitely goes up in that Ring of Honor. I don't necessarily know if they retire his number, but I think his name goes up in the ring. You know, we were all so happy to see Reggie get that Super Bowl 31 and after the 96 season, and I think we all felt the exact same way about Charles after 45. So that's my favorite memory. I'll throw in, for those of you who really want to know what my favorite actual play on the field was, it was not just one. It was every single interception that Charles Woodson got against Jay Cutler. Love Chuck. So happy for him. What a great guy. Loves his teammates, has a lot of respect and admiration for his teammates. He's been such a great mentor to so many young defensive backs. You know, he tweeted something really nice to Randall Cobb, who sent something out giving some love to Charles and said, you know, tough as nails, hashtag tough as nails. Coming from Charles Woodson, you know, those are some pretty good words. You know, that's a pretty high compliment there, because Charles has played through some tough injuries. He had the turf toe in 2007. Don't discount how hard it is to play or come back from turf toe. He had the turf toe in 2007. He had the, you know, broke the collarbone. He had to come back from after 10. He played in 11. Shoulder injuries, you know, you name it, he had them, and he played through a lot of it. So, you know, I was a defensive back in high school for the 2 minutes that I played football ever in my life, and I have a lot of admiration for Charles Woodson, and very proud to say that he was a Green Bay Packer, not only at all, but during one of the most special seasons that I think we'll probably ever experience. So much love to Chuck, and congratulations on an amazing Hall of Fame career.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Charles Woodson, on a Hall of Fame career. Next thing up here on the Packers docket is the Arizona Cardinals. Showdown. The Packers, if they want any chance at a first-round bye, they have to win this game. It is in Arizona. Last time the Packers were in Arizona, Jason, you remember it too well, Aaron Rodgers was hitting a face mask, fumbled, and the ball was returned for a touchdown. The season's over, just like that. The Packers returned to the scene of the crime, if you will, looking for a small measure of revenge. It's going to be an interesting game, I'll say this. So the questions I have for the Cardinals, they've won 8 games in a row. They've looked like arguably the best team in the NFL. As I mentioned earlier, a win coupled with a Vikings loss gives the Packers a 5th straight NFC North title. My questions are, as I ask every week, what matchup in the game scares you the most, and what matchup do you think favors Green Bay, coupled by a game pick? I like matchup in a game that scares me is this Cardinals secondary. Even without Tyrann Mathieu, the Cardinals have some capable corners, some good safeties against the Packers wide receivers. That's been an ongoing issue all season long. I don't have to bang my head against the wall anymore to explain why that would terrify me. Even though they'll be without Mathieu, and I do think Mathieu has been one of the best players in football on the defensive side this season, that's still a pretty good defense. But one thing that I think you can get them a little vulnerable against is Eddie Lacy and James Starks against their run defense. If they can control the clock and keep the Cardinals' offense off the field, sustain some drives, maybe not quite like the 18-play, 3-point drive that they had on Sunday against Oakland, but if they can get those into 7 points, make enough plays on defense, that's the way they're going to have to grind this kind of game out, because if it gets into a shootout kind of game, the Packers can't run with Cardinals. So I think they need to run the ball and control the clock. Now, as for my game pick, I've said all kinds of nice things about the Packers throughout the show, about how they've won 10 games, and that's great, and we're spoiled and all that stuff. That being said, I like the Cardinals' dig in this game. 38-17, I just think that they're better on offense and defense than Green Bay is. And if your biggest advantage going into a game is special teams, that's not going to end very well. So I like Arizona to win this game by 21 points and essentially lock up the number two seed in that scenario. The Packers will have to win a winner-take-all game at Lambeau Field to beat the Minnesota Vikings to win the NFC North, in my opinion. Jason, matchups and game pick, and you kind of alluded to it earlier.
Okay, so now we're going to play a little game called How Well Do You Know Your Co-Host? So what have I been saying for the last couple of weeks? I'll start the sentence, Jacob. You finish my sentence for me. So let's see how MFEO we are, okay?
Okay.
NFL anymore these days is not so much about being the better team, but it's about what?
Better matchups.
Matchups. This is probably the worst matchup the Packers could possibly face in the NFL. I don't like any situation in this game favoring the Green Bay Packers, with the exception of maybe the field goal kicker and with a new long snapper, which, by the way, I did not know about Brett Goode. I had a very busy day at work today. I did not know about that. So I heard that, and I was just like, oh, man, you know, there's certain guys that, you know, you don't miss them until they're gone. And let's hope that that's not the case with Brett Goode. And that's not good news, because with that injury obviously happening this late in the season, then there's a pretty good chance that he may miss all of or most of next season as well. So the matchup that I don't like, that I dislike the most is pretty much all of them, but I'm going to go with Arizona's wide receivers against Green Bay's secondary. And what's scary about that is that the secondary has been one of the biggest strengths for the Packers this year, but despite how well those guys can play, and I think that, you know, they might come up with a play or two, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, John Brown. Is it John Brown?
There's John and there's Jerron. There's two of them, and they're both good.
So, yeah. I mean, these guys run the routes that we all wish the Packers were running. These guys run the rub better than any team in the NFL. Larry Fitzgerald, I've said this before. I think I mentioned it maybe on this show. I think we've talked about it. Larry Fitzgerald this is, I think, his 11th or 12th season. If you counted the number of times that Larry Fitzgerald has been open, whatever your definition of open is, and not caught the football in his career, you would probably have most of your fingers left over on one hand. He catches everything. Had a touchdown against the Packers in the playoff game. Might have had two. My recollection is fuzzy. I've tried to block that out of my mind. I was in the house for that one, Jacob, and that pass to Greg Jennings that sailed over his head was coming right at me. I don't like this matchup at all, and I think the Packers are in for a really long day, and Aaron Rodgers' struggles aren't going to get a break here, because the Cardinals get after the passer. They don't leave him any room. He's not going to have any room to run, and I don't see the Packers establishing the run, because even though the Cardinals aren't ranked very well on the rushing defense, I think Bruce Arians and his staff, I mean, Arians is an offensive coach, but I think the Cardinals' game plan is going to be to come in and shut down the run and make the Packers throw, which, again, I mean, it kind of makes me throw up a little bit to know that that's what teams are trying to do to my quarterback, who should be beating everybody up and down the so basically it's like, you know, knowing that your dad's fighting your friend's dad and he's not going to win, you know, kind of makes you sick. I think that's what's going to happen, is I think Arizona's going to come in and try to shut down the run, and I think they probably will. I just, you know, Eddie Lacy's so up and down. Until I see it, I have no confidence that he's going to run all over the Cardinals. James Starks was not great against the Raiders. He had the fumble. That's, you know, not his first fumble this season, and so this is a tough game. And even with Tyrann Mathieu being out, who, you know, is a big X factor back there, I think he would have been a guy that would have given the Packers fits had he played. He still got Patrick Peterson. And, you know, really, you take away Randall Cobb, the rest of the defensive backs, the rest of the secondary for Arizona can handle what's left. You know, Dalen Buchanan out of Washington State, kind of a converted safety linebacker, and he's played really well in his second season. I mean, they're just playing so well. And it makes me kind of ill to say it, because you guys, you know, those of you who don't know, yeah, I live in Arizona, but I am not a Cardinals fan at all. As a matter of fact, they're my least favorite team in the NFL. So imagine how I feel every Sunday when I have to watch bonus coverage of the Arizona Cardinals after their game is over on local TV. So that's one thing I will not miss when I leave here. But, again, score doesn't matter. I'm taking the Cardinals. I don't think they'll win by three scores. I see something maybe a little more along the lines of like a 38-24. But you know, I think it'll be at least multiple scores, and they'll pull away late. You know, that it's not a good matchup for the Packers, and it's tough for a road game. That's a very loud venue. You know, for people who haven't been there before, everyone talks about Seattle. I mean, it was a playoff game, so the energy was probably a little bit different in there. But that place gets very loud, especially if they're going to keep the roof closed. It's going to get really loud in there, and it's going to be tough for the offense to operate. And you know, they're not going to get their usual offsides and trying to draw the defense offsides. And you know, they're just a sharp team. So if the Packers are going to win this game, they're going to have to play their best game of the season, and they're going to have to make zero mistakes. And that's just too much to ask of any team in the league.
Absolutely agree. We're both in agreement. The Arizona Cardinals will be the number 2 seed in the NFC after they beat the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. Hope I'm wrong. Hope Jason's wrong. One other thing I want to touch on. It was after all the games, and I left this as the final segment of the show because I do think it provokes the most thought. After the game, Aaron Rodgers had his press conference like he does every single week, and something about it seemed off. I mean, I'm not talking like he wasn't like Marshawn Lynch where he gave the same answer every time to be a clown. But normally Aaron Rodgers is very engaging, answers questions well, dissects plays. I mean, literally the first question was asked by Vic Ketchman, and he said, "Are you happy with the performance of the offense?" And usually Rodgers would give his answer and then give a reason why for the answer. He just said no and stopped. The whole thing was short. It seemed like he was holding back, biting his tongue, and a key quote there, the money quote, if you will, was they just didn't have a clear sense of direction. I'm not 100% sure what that means. I'm not 100% sure what he meant by that. What I think he meant by that was they didn't really have an idea. What personnel groupings do they want to go with? Do they want to run it down the team's throat? Do they want to throw the ball? Things of that nature. But he did the same kind of thing last week when Mike McCarthy took over the play calling. Now, there were reports that he wasn't happy about that. I made of that nothing really in particular. But after the game, you know, Rodgers said it wasn't the play caller, it was the play execution. He mentioned this week, you know, that the play execution needs to be better, you know, stuff of that nature. And I agree with him on that, just to be very clear. But he was also saying, you know, last week about how he made a joke, and whether it was disrespectful or just a joke, I really don't know. But he's, you know, he joked that he couldn't understand McCarthy because of his Pittsburgh dialect. And really, I think the way that it was best described is by our godfather here at Cheesehead TV, and that's Aaron Nagler. He said that, you know, Rodgers is doing this passive-aggressive dance with Mike McCarthy every week, and McCarthy never does anything but praise Rodgers publicly. So my theory on it is, and I guess the question is, you know, what do you make of this demeanor? My theory is, you know, I know he's supposedly close with Tom Clements. He can't be happy that, you know, Clements basically got demoted. And I think the writing's kind of on the wall there that Tom Clements isn't going to be back here next year. But even so, if you're going to, you know, we've given a lot of talk in the last couple of years about how, you know, Brett Favre was a diva in his final days here. This is diva-esque by Rodgers. And it's really borderline pathetic to me. I mean, the Packers have won 2 games since McCarthy took over the play calling. That's his head coach. And I understand that franchise quarterbacks have a lot of weight, but Mike McCarthy's still the boss. You know, he's still worthy of respect. And the Packers have been very good ever since Mike McCarthy's been the head coach. So long story short, I guess what I would say is, you know, if Aaron were right in front of me and cared at all what my opinion was, I would tell him, you need to get on board. Because the only way that this Packers team is going to be successful is if it's all hands on deck, everybody on board. You have to realize that Mike McCarthy believes that him calling the plays is what's best for this team. And I do as well. And Mike McCarthy is going to be the play caller for as long, at least through this season, and probably a really long time, probably as long as he's the head coach. So, Aaron, you've got to get on board because this is getting a little ridiculous from week to week about the mopey, pouty, basically undermining your head coach in public. So that's my feeling on it. Jason, before I go into it, give us your thoughts at Pulse of the Pack, at Jacob Westendorf, at Jason Perrault. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers' press conference demeanor? Use the hashtag #Pulse while sending that to us. So #Pulse, at Jason Perrault, at Pulse of the Pack, at Jacob Westendorf. Jason, what do you make of the Rodgers demeanor?
I still haven't listened to the whole thing, and I don't obviously like the air of the whole situation because something's going on. We don't know what it is. It's obviously a distraction, and you don't want to see these kind of things eating away at your team, especially when it involves your quarterback, most important position on the field. He's obviously the linchpin of this team. Without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are not even half of what they are currently. So it's concerning. And
you know, there's a couple theories on what could be going on. It could just be the fact that Rodgers is starting to mature in his career. He may know that he only wants to play X number of years more, and he's starting to sense that he's not being given the right opportunities. I don't think you can really blame Mike McCarthy for Jordy Nelson's injury and some of the things that have happened and Ty Montgomery going down and Devontae Adams deciding not to step up. Maybe. I mean, you know, in some aspects, you know, Adams could be a coaching issue, but really I think Mike McCarthy's done a pretty good job and he's got a pretty good track record here. So, you know, Rodgers would seemingly have every reason in the book to get on board and buy into the system. You know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have been together for 14 years now. And there's not even a hint of either one of them not getting along or wanting to be around each other. I think if Tom Brady retired, I think Bill Belichick would too. And there's a good chance it could be vice versa as well. So, no, you definitely don't want to see that happening if that's the case. I think Rodgers is just a different kind of guy. He's a perfectionist. You know, he's almost OCD to an extent. You listen to his recall after he talks about plays, and he's got this photographic memory. Got to realize that there's not a lot of people in the world that are able to do that. You know, his intelligence level is pretty high, and he knows it. And he's dealing with players who, of course, you know, might be smart on a different level, but not to that level, not to his, you know, and not in his realm. So you have to understand that that's what you're dealing with. But I do think the Packers have good enough players, and I think they have guys that understand enough to be good. They just haven't been able to get it going this year. You know, sometimes the balls just don't bounce your way. Sometimes the luck doesn't all come flying your way. There is a little bit of luck that goes into every successful team's season. Even the Carolina Panthers wouldn't be 14-0 right now if it weren't for a little bit of luck in some situations during the season. So we'll see. I mean, Rodgers is going to come out and play hard. One thing I'll point to, though, is that there's been a schism. You know, remember that word back in 2010, 2009 with the Vikings, the schism with the whole Favre thing and all the stuff that was going on. You watch Rodgers come out of the tunnel for games and you watch him on the field and he just isn't the same, you know, peppy, fiery, pumped up kind of guy. I mean, yeah, he was excited after they beat the Lions and he sounds fine in the post-game interviews after they win. I mean, he sounded weird yesterday. You would have thought they lost. But there's just something different about Rodgers. And all I can say is that I hope that he's still hungry to play this game. I hope he's still dedicated to the Packers. I hope he still buys into this coaching staff and this front office regime because they've done enough. They've put enough around him. The defense is there right now. Some of these receivers, you know, yeah, you don't have Greg Jennings. You don't have Donald Driver. You don't have guys out there who are money, Jordy Nelson, who are money on their routes. But one thing I can tell you, I think, is that these young receivers might not be getting it done on the field, but they admire the heck out of 12. And you can't necessarily say that was always the case when JerMichael Finley, Greg Jennings, and even Donald Driver were there. There were stories that came out about those guys not feeling like Rodgers had their back at times. And so you have to pay the price. If you want older, more experienced guys, you're going to have to become more accountable. You don't want to be accountable, and you don't want to step up and say, hey, I'm the bulk of the problem here, which Rodgers is not. Then you're going to have to surround yourself with some guys who are willing to let you slide there because there is a mental aspect to this game. And if receivers aren't enamored with their quarterback, you know, they don't tend to catch as many footballs. And I'm not saying guys are not dropping balls on purpose, but, you know, that interception that Rodgers threw yesterday was ridiculous. It was stupid. And, you know, I don't know whether that was he checked out of a run play and threw it or if that was just a poor play call, but there's just things happening right now that just baffled me. And then to see him come out and say some of the things he did in the postgame, it's, you know, hopefully it would be nice if they went out, you know, be a huge cure is if they went out and had a great game and beat Arizona in Arizona somehow, and this team caught fire. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, one of the most amazing stories that we've seen. You know, it would be right up there with 2010. I don't think it's going to happen, but it sure would fix a lot of things and make a lot of this stuff go away that I wish the court had talked. But it's Aaron Rodgers. I think he'll get it put together. And if not, it's going to be, you know, like we've said, it's going to be a very interesting offseason. We'll definitely have plenty to talk about. You'll be getting more better content and more shows of Pulse of the Pack during the offseason if that is still around as a discussion topic, for sure. Before we sign off, I know you're getting ready to sign off, Jacob. I want to myself personally obviously wish you a Merry Christmas, wish you and your family Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there. We really appreciate all of your support, all of your love. Happy holidays to everybody, and we will catch you guys on the other side.
That we will. We will catch you on the other side of Christmas, and I will be the first to say all I want for Christmas is a Green Bay Packers victory over the Arizona Cardinals which was a while ago when we did our game picks. Jason and I both like the Cardinals this week. A lot of content in today's show. Like I mentioned earlier, check out our Twitter account. Send us hashtag Pulse, your thoughts on Rodgers' post-game demeanor. What's it all mean? Does it mean anything? Does it mean nothing? What are we looking at here as far as all kinds of different stuff, really? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? There's a lot of stuff to talk there, but that's at Pulse of the Pack, at Jacob Westendorf, at Jason Perrone. But that's going to finally do it for today's show. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. I mentioned the shows that are the Twitter handles that you can follow. I want to thank our sponsors once again. I want to thank Jason, as always, for doing the show for me as well. Doing the show with me, I should say, not for me, with me. Want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas out there as well. I hope that the look on JJ's face is priceless, because that's what Christmas is all about, those little kids. Thank you guys for listening to Pulse of the Pack. We will see you guys after Christmas, hopefully heading into a happy mood when the Packers go to take on the Minnesota Vikings for possibly the home finale at Lambeau Field. But thank you for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.